All right. Well, this is actually a pretty good turnout. I wasn't expecting all of you today. As you can see, everybody on the planet's sick. Well, praise God for that. And in the name of Jesus, you won't get sick. Some of us had it, got over it. Praise God for that. Funny thing, the whole internet's down too. I prayed, so maybe, Tim, go ahead and check the internet because you might be able to put it back up now, but I don't know. But it's so funny to be on this side watching what's happening today. God has a word for his church today, you guys. And this is what I love about God is he'll use situations like this where church is kind of off kilter today. Oh my gosh, we don't have a worship team. What do we do? That kind of stuff can throw you off. Or you can go, ooh, God, here's a great opportunity for you to flex your muscles with no show. There's no, you know what I mean? No smoke machine today. No live band. Just the word and him and you and me. It's perfect. Perfectly planned by God. And, thank God we filmed this, so if people miss it, they miss it, and they can see it later. But last week, I preached a message on discernment. And if you missed it, I hope you go back and watch this, because I truly believe God has done something very powerful with last week and this week. If you combo them together, all I can tell you is I've been crying for the last 3 days, and it wasn't sadness. God has blown my mind, and I pray that yours will be blown too today. And when we go through the scripture that I'm going to read today, it should cause us to talk different, walk different, Facebook different, love different, forgive different. Everything should be different today, and I have read this text not a million times, but a whole lot of times. And I'm telling you, understanding this has made me feel like I just got saved 3 days ago. I'm on fire right now. Hallelujah. And here's another thing I want you to pay attention to. And this is what we're going to pay attention to this year. Okay? There's something happens when a child of God that's filled with the Holy Spirit reads the Word of God. And I like to do it like this. Here's a little picture example. We're all little tuning forks. Little tuning forks where God's source is he's the one. He's the one that resonates, right? Every time you read the word, it's like the Holy Spirit goes, bing. Hey, you know what I'm saying? If you don't, I want you to, because it is a feeling. And God told me to tell you, he's done being your imaginary friend. He wants a real emotional, rich relationship with you this year. And that's part of it. Feeling the word of God. Ooh, there's something you'll know. Bing. Just remember that. So this text is going to make you do this today. Enjoy it. Get to know it. Reside in the feeling that you're going to feel today with the Word of God. In this original text, it's one long sentence. I'm going to be teaching out of the Ephesians today. And the beautiful thing about this is even though it said Colossians, I think the guys' Bible study are doing Ephesians. And I know that the Wednesday nights with DJ are going to be going through Ephesians. So after this message, when you're bing, just remember there's more to digging during the week. Show up midweek. That's where we dig. You're going to enjoy this message? Wait till you dig through it. You think this is going to empower you? Oh, wait till you can ingest it and meditate on it. It will change your life. But today, I'm gonna give an overview. Dr. Jones is gonna give you a shot, no pun intended. But it's a Holy Ghost shot, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with this one. So, Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14. The first two verses are just a greeting. Even though there's richness and meat in there, I'm just going to start from verse 3. Verse 3 to 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just stop right there. Because if you ever hear somebody just start, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to slap the Bible out of his hand and say, give that to me. I will read it to you first. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. These scriptures are literally meant to be sung. See, Paul is writing his church in Ephesus, and what he immediately wants to happen to you and me thousands of years later is when we read this first line, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to the one who gives and takes away. Glory to the one who sent a way for mankind to be saved. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It immediately turns our hearts towards God. It immediately puts God the Father where he belongs, high and lifted up above everything and everyone. So, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read this whole thing, so it's a lot. Just relax. Who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him we have the redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth, all things. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were first to hope in Christ might be the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. Now, I know that was a lot. And you feel like, you know, some of you got your hair blown back right now. I get it. It is a lot, but we're going to break it down. Now, let me give you a little bit of background on this. Paul wrote the church in Ephesus in 62 AD from prison in Rome. And Ephesus was riddled with idol worship, and it was Vegas, right? Vegas on steroids. It was, they had a temple literally where it was a religious act for they thought it was an act toward God to go up and sleep with prostitutes at the temple. So there was just madness everywhere. And I remember when I first started being a Christian, I'd read about this and I'd be like, ooh, it was bad then. And it was. It was gnarly. There was a bunch of idol worship and a bunch of debauchery going on. But guess what? It's the same as today. It wasn't any worse. There's things going on that you and I don't see that are bad, bad, bad. There's a lot going on in this world, so don't think for a second it was worse then than it is now. The only thing different is our clothes, okay? Same kind of people in this church, just like me and you. Same kind of issues. Ain't nothing new under the sun. But look at how Paul is speaking to them. This is the front of the letter. He front loads this letter with this? What I just read you. This is the first part of the sermon for church on Sunday. What did the church look like in Ephesus to be prepared to receive a letter like this from Paul? They were on fire, man. Those people were ready for this. They had abided and studied and lived the gospel to be ready for this. And how crazy was it there? Do you see? I want you to see that it doesn't matter how crazy it gets out there. The crazier it gets, the more the bride of Christ will shine. The crazier it gets, the more God's going to move and the more obvious His miracles will be, including me and you. So, do not fret. There's nothing new under the sun. The devil doesn't have any new tricks for us. It's the same deceptive, false reality that he's been given people forever. And I'm going to talk about that today. This letter was for the whole congregation, not a special few of the theologians in Ephesus. This was for everybody. And this letter, filled with towering truths of election, predestination, adoption, redemption, and our eternal security in Christ, this letter assures Christ's followers eternal life is to be experienced now, not just eternally. It's just the next generation's turn to walk with Him. Let me give you a compressed little bite of what we're going to be studying today. Verse 3, He blessed us. Verse 4, He chose us. Verse 5, He predestined us. Verse 7, He redeemed us. Verse 9, He enlightens us. Verse 11, He rewards us. And verse 13 and 14, He seals us and guarantees our safe arrival home. To be ignorant of these verses is to be ignorant spiritually. And I say that to you as a man that had his mind blown by this 3 days ago. So I don't say it with condemnation. I say it with, hey, we should all really get into this. Because it's changed my life. I told you, I don't know if I told you, but I've been crying for 3 days. And it's just, it's tears of joy. It's the revelation that of God. His word is amazing, you guys. So Paul covers the plan of our salvation. And the title of my message is Salvation in Christ. And he covers this in these 14 verses. These 12 verses, he covers our plan for salvation, which involves the entire Trinity in the 12 verses. Each person of the Godhead, a vitally important role that he plays in our salvation. In verses 3 through 6, we get the saving grace of God the Father. In verses 7 through 12, we get the saving grace of God the Son. And in verses 13 and 14, we get the saving grace of God the Holy Spirit. Now, this is how we're going to break down this today. We're going to talk about three things: how the Father planned our salvation, how the Son purchased our salvation, and how the Holy Spirit preserves and protects our salvation in this scripture. So we'll start with how the Father planned our salvation, and we'll go from verses 3 through 6. I'll review. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. So the Father planned our salvation. So let's look at this. First, let's look at the three things in these scriptures. He blessed us in Christ, He chose us in Christ, and He predestined us in Christ. God's plan is always to be generous. It's always been to be generous. In fact, He Himself, His very nature is generous. He His very nature is to give. And when I describe Him today, I'm going to have to break Him up into three so I can give you a picture in your mind. Okay, so we can talk about this and we can marinate on this. So I'm going to call them the High Council of Three today. So the High Council of Three, everybody very specific. The Father, who's the source. Specifically, there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all have specific roles in the Trinity. Each giving, never, ever, ever taking from one another. They produce. They move together. The High Council of Three produces and gives to one another, enabling, creating. Flowing. There is no death in the High Council of Three. There has never been death in the High Council of Three. Nothing will ever die in the High Council of Three. There's never been a stop, a check in the flow that they provide in each other, to each other, for each other, with each other. There's never been a break in that. Ever. He's never lacked anything. He didn't create us because He was lonely. He didn't. He created us because He's a creator. He created us because He loves. And the exchange of love from His creation back to Himself is just another extension of Him. We're connected. He spoke through a prophet named Jeremiah thousands of years ago. And this scripture rings true to you and me, His church, His bride in 2022. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Now, that word right there from thousands of years ago is so relevant right now. I run into so many people that are hopeless lately. Why? Because everything they're watching on that profit box in their living room or the profit box in their back pocket is bringing them anxiety and division and anger and resentment. If that's what you're getting preached to, I can understand why. He chose us. Now, before I go into that, let me say this. What kind of riches do you think God holds? Really? And this is, you know, this is what I love, is because this is all between you and Him. It's none of my business. Not. The Holy Spirit will check you when needed to be checked. But what kind of riches do you think He holds? Do you believe that He does? Do you really believe? The Council of Three has good and perfect things for you. Because He does. Eternally. Continuously. Therefore, He is, He always has, and always will be. I think it's called ontology or something like that. I'm in school, so I'm learning. But it's the study of being. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you even just, the study of being. Because God is. See what I mean? He's the first being. He is. He is being. It's trippy. It's a lot. And I know I'm shoving fat pieces of meat down your throat today, church, but it's okay. It's okay. Just drink it down with some Holy Ghost water. That's all. This was trippy for me too. This is, I mean, I've been in tears, right? So let's move on. He chose us. So in order for us to wrap our minds around this magnificent God that never has needed anything, wanted anything, caused for any kind of a need. The high council got together and we have to go back to eternity past. So we're in right now. There's eternity future. Let's go back to eternity past. This is before the galaxies were invented. The earth was, there was no planets. There's just nothing in him. The high council of three. They went over the plan for mankind. And they went over every name. Every single name that would ever be named on this planet or through the circle of life. They went through every single name. And when they stopped at your name, he said, that one. They're mine. I'm creating them for me. Wait a second. I used to shoot methamphetamine and kick in people's doors and beat them up and just sleep with whoever to make me feel better and just selfishly steal and lie, and I didn't care about God. I even owned a shirt that said Team Satan 666, and I would wear it out just to piss you off. That's who I was. When my name came across, he knew what I was going to do. He saw the needle in my arm. Chris Jones, no, he's mine. When you grab a hold of that, it should bring you comfort. What do you mean there's nothing I can do to ruin that? No. Why? Because you're not more powerful than him. Well, wait a second. Man's got free choice. He's got his own liberties. Yes, you're right. But God already knew all of your choices. He already knew every choice you were going to make. When he, and then I'll just transition right into predestination. They went over. There was one choice made. I don't want you to think God was like, yep, nope, yep, nope. I mean, in a way, yes. I mean, and I'm not even going to try to defend God because he is, but he really did. I'm saving him and her. I won't save them. They'll be created, but they're not going to hear me. They'll be created, but they're going to deny my son. They'll be created, and they'll be nice. They won't know me. I think instead of wasting our time figuring out why that is, we should be falling on our face going, oh my God, thank you. Thank you for choosing me. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Why? Because every single one of us deserves to burn in hell. You think people are nice? They're not. I mean, compared to a holy God, no. And I have to get a little fire and brimstone on you right now. Because literally, let me talk to you about the sovereign grace of the Almighty. Envision in your mind every sinner who can give two cares about God. They have no idea the thin layer that there is between here and the afterlife. Between here and there. It is part of the beast's job to make you forget that you're a spiritual being. That here and now, this physical is everything. And oh my God, where's the money for rent? Where's this? Where's that? Where's all the physical stuff? You are lacking. You need. There is a reality that God has for us. And I'm not saying we don't work, we don't take care of our families, because we do. We're good Christian people. But if you're placing value on the stuff, let me say this carefully. There is so much more to this life than grinding it out Monday through Friday and paying your bills on time. You should do that. But you have to do that with a light hand, because the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. We're up, baby, and sometimes we're down. Amen? So what does God say? Be content in all with it. Be content. Yeah, I know you're eating rice and beans right now. I got you. I will never use this pulpit to tell you that if you just tithe enough, God's going to make you rich and he's going to make you healthy. If you just do this, this, and this, no bad thing will happen to you. That would be a lie. But what I can tell you is God has predestined you. If you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, they have already discussed your life to the nth degree. Your best friend in third grade. The dog you had, whether you had a hamster or a turtle. I'm serious. Every hair on your head is counted. Everything in your life, the quiz you flunked in fourth grade, all that. They talked about that. This is what I want us to grab a hold of. So, Pastor Chris, does it mean I frivolously live? I mean, I'm predestined. I'm predestined to live with Christ. Why can't I do whatever I want? That's a great question. Why don't I just run up on the roof, jump off? I'm predestined to go to heaven. Well, if I did that, that would tell all of you that I didn't know Jesus. Because if you've got a hold of what God's done for you, see, you and I were dead in sin. We've already been dead and brought back to life. Why would I kill myself again? I've already been dead. Jesus gave me life, and now I'm alive. Why would I do anything to kill that on purpose? Doesn't make sense. When you've tasted of the Lord and you're saved, I'm not saying you ain't going to go back to the world and do their thing. We're sinners, man. We got flesh. I deal with the same thing you guys deal with. Really. But the power doesn't lie there. You don't have to do that stuff. In fact, the more that you stop that and go, you know what, instead of watching porn right now, I think I'm going to read the Word. Maybe that'll change my mind. If it doesn't change my mind, I'll watch porn, but maybe it will. Try that. Try it. Try it. It's a heavy word, guys. My heart is to really drive home that we really don't have anything to worry about. This virus, these things, the economy. I get it, man. It's crazy. God discussed it. ready. He's come up with a plan. He's given us his plan. And he says, chill out, church. It's okay. I'm not, and look, we are allowed to be affected by bad stuff. I'm not telling you, like, every time, you know, adversity hits, you better suck it up, Christian. You know, have faith. You get to walk through it. You get to feel your feelings. You get to be disappointed. You get to do all that. But just know, in all of that, your salvation is secure. You are a child of God. You have an inheritance coming to you now that you can receive in those moments. Eternity starts now. Don't wait to live with God until you die. You're not going to die, by the way. Just so you know, your spirit's going somewhere. Your body may drop to the physical ground, but your spirit's going to live. And if you're not saved, that should scare the, you know what, out of you. The hell out of you. But if you are saved, this should cause you to go, why am I tripping on so many things? And I'm even talking to you patriots that go down the rabbit hole. You think you're all justified by it. I get it. I'm one and the same. You better balance it with a healthy diet of the word. Or you're going to get divisive. You're going to get resentful. You're going to start hating people for the way they vote. Are you kidding me? Listen to me. This church, you get to vote however you want. You get to think however you want. You get to whatever. I mean, you can do it. As long as you and I have common ground and the word of God is the plumb line, that Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior, that there is only one true God that has the plan already filled out and done, we're good. Go ahead. I might disagree with you and even let you know it. But you know what your response should be? Thanks for sharing, Pastor Chris. I love you. I love you too, brother. I love you. Seriously. Hey, we disagree. So what? So what? Especially about worldly stuff. Oh my goodness. We find common ground in love. And what a cool church to be able to have different, you know, thoughts. Wouldn't that be cool? If we hadn't just all, we vote the same, we talk the same, we do the same, we're done the same. I'd rather have diversity. To me, conflict and love brings forth greatness. Because it causes me and you to come to whatever's the best thing. And if we do it in love, it brings me and you closer together. Why? Because you get to be you with your thoughts, and I get to be me with mine. That's family. Maybe not our our families, but... No. I love you, family. It was a joke. Let's talk about, okay, so was I able to wrap our minds around eternity, the Father, the Son and the Spirit, intimately, purposefully talked about everything. Have confidence in that. Take some comfort in that although you may be walking through the valley of death, he is with you. It may feel like you're alone. You're not. It may feel like you're down and out and there's no way out. He will make a way. He always does. So let's talk about how the Son purchased our salvation. Father planned it. Son purchased it. So, Ephesians verse 7 says, just to review, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So right after Paul tells us of our eternal security, He reminds us that we've been purchased. That the very thing that put us as enemies towards God. We were God's enemy because of the way that we lived. Why? Because we lived for the beast. We lived for self. And I don't care how nice of a person you think you were or are, you did. They're seducing spirits. The doctrines of demons can be convincing. It's not obvious. Oh, that's the devil. It's not some guy in a red suit and a pitchfork giving you lies. Yeah, I know. It'd be easy to spot, wouldn't it? In him we have redemption through his blood. And I want you to see this. The forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. Not out of the riches of his grace. There's a huge difference there. And I'll use this example because I used it in first service, and I hate using satanic paper like money, but it's an example. If a rich guy is going to break you off out of his riches, he might break you off $100. But if a rich guy's going to break you off according to his riches, what do you think that payout's going to be? It's going to be fat. So I want you to specifically pick that up too. We are not, you know, forgiven out of the grace of God. We are forgiven according to the grace of God. Romans 5, I think it's 5, 6 through 10 says this, "For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare to even die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, oh hallelujah, shall we be saved by his life." So Jesus purchased our salvation. That means the high council, they were meeting, and at some point, at that time, 2,000 years ago, God said, "You're up, son. It's time. Mary's ready. Joseph's ready. The manger's ready. It's time. All right, Father. I'll be right back." And God spoke his word into a human. Why would he do that? Why would he use one of us? Well, if you know any part of the Old Testament, there's sacrifice that has to happen. When you come before a holy God, you must be pure and holy. And so, in order to have a relationship with him, we had to kill animals and spread their blood out in a specific way because the life is in the blood. The life of God is in that blood. And so since man has disgraced and defamed that holiness, there had to be a sacrifice. So in his wisdom, he knew that if he left it up to me and you, we would definitely screw it up. And I think we can all say amen to that, because man has screwed up so much, including the church. He knew it was going to take him. So what did he do? He spoke his word into Mary. Jesus was born. And by the way, not one second was he broke away from the high council of three. Not for one second. Not for one second was the flow of them disturbed when God spoke Jesus into Mary. Not for one second. When he was born, baby, crawling, walking, young kid, tweener, teener, young adult. Flowed with the Lord. Did not sin. That's amazing to me. The only reason why I know for sure that Jesus didn't sin, because I wasn't there, is that God accepted his sacrifice. You see, when Jesus was crucified, he did not get shortchanged on the cross. You see, when our Savior and the pure, think about this, of purity. When purity, like a baby, is beaten and hung up on a cross, murdered, it makes us think, oh my gosh, poor Jesus. My Jesus. He's a victim. He's a victim of the haters. He's a victim of our sin. He's a victim. And I tell you, church, no, he is not. He on purpose knew the whole time, bravely and lovingly and selflessly walked the whole trail to the end, because the end was the cross for him. He knew that was the destination. That was his job from the High Council of Three. That's the part I'm playing in my beloved creation, because I want to spend eternity with them. I've already chose them. I love them. I'm going to die for them so they don't have to rely on some priest, because some priest is going to lie to them. I know that they will. That priest has been lying a lot. So I'm not going to rely on them. I don't want to rely on one man, period. I want mankind to come to me themselves. Why? Because then I'll implant my Holy Spirit, that other part of the Trinity that will reside in them. He will teach them. He will convict them. He will bring them to a knowing revelation of Jesus. You see, we serve a powerful God. And I'm afraid, church. And when I say the beast, I mean the world. I mean that prophet box in your living room. I mean the prophet box in your pocket. The more you let the beast minister to you, the more you're going to look like the world. You want a math problem? I'm going to give you a math problem. Those who are taking notes, get ready. Ready? Less of the world, more of the word, equals the best version of you. There it is. And I know some of you are like, oh, there's got to be another way. I get it, right? Your flesh is like, no, there's so many words. The book is so thick. Oh. I understand. That's why this is a journey. I pray today that this word would spark something in you that would make you desire, like, ooh, ping. I like this feeling. I think I want to live here. Because guess what, guys? I do. I live in ping. Because I love it. I love it. I love the Holy Spirit. I love the presence of God. And I watch TV. I do all that stuff. I don't want to make you think. But I balance, because I know I've been down the rabbit hole too long. I get mad. I get ungodly. I get in the flesh. And we can live in the flesh or we can live in the Spirit. It's as simple as that. There's a reality. There's one reality that Satan wants to give you. And it is fleshy. And we do have to live in it to a certain extent. So I'm not going to take that away from us. We're stuck here for right now until God brings us home. But there is also something very real going on, and that is your spiritual walk. That is your safety in Christ. You are safe in him, church. You are not. And look, I'm not telling you. If you die from a virus, it's because God said you were gonna. That's it. That's it. I'm not telling you to go out and tongue kiss somebody with COVID. But I'm telling you, if you do and you die, it's because God said you were going to die today. Not because that stupid thing killed you. Okay? Now, that's the perspective I want you to have. It's okay to be careful. It's okay to care for your family and do what's best for you guys. I'm not coming against anybody's beliefs. But I am your pastor, and I am going to remind you that there is one you go by over everything, including your own fear. And if God gives you a word and tells you not to be afraid, then man of God, woman of God, stop being afraid. Okay. I'll go to the last one. I just started this. Oh my gosh. Okay. Romans 6:4 says we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. You have to understand there's a resurrection that's happened in your life now. It's not when your body hits the ground and you go to him. It's now. You are resurrected now. Eternal life happens now. You want some in your inheritance now? Just get out there and try to start loving on people, baby. Be Jesus in their life. The Holy Spirit will dump on you. He will dump. Be a giver. Be generous. Give. Even though you only have a couple, give it. And watch what he does. I dare you. That's what he said to the rich young ruler. Just go sell everything, dude. It's because he couldn't. Hold on to your stuff lightly. It's nothing. In Christ, you can have everything that really holds value. Really. Peace. How about health and relationships? What? Yeah. How about hope? Strength. In adversity, being able to go through something really hard and actually produce in that. That's a miracle. That's a miracle of God. And that is saved. That's the riches that he saves for his kids. So your trial, your tragedy that will break you. One, he knew about it. He's sovereign over it. And I am not trying to take anything away from anybody's tragedy. But you get to feel your feelings. You get to feel all that knowing that God is in control. I know, God, I don't understand this. This hurts so bad. God, I'm going to miss them. I don't know it, but God, you said I'd see him again. Oh, God, you said you would make a way. There is no way, God, I'm looking at this and my situation is, there is no way. But God, you said you'd make a way. Therefore, I don't have to yell at my kids. Therefore, I don't have to yell at my family and take it out on them and just let it wreck my walk. And no, I can call my friends and have them pray for me, but I'm going through a storm right now, but my God's in control. I'm going through stuff right now, but God, I just pray that you would do something in me through this. God, I pray that you would kill more of Chris Jones through this. I pray that the world would fall off me as I walk through this. God, I'll stay in your word. I'll stay in prayer. I'll keep coming to church and praying with people and have them praying for me. And that's how, because God, when you died on the cross, Jesus, when you said, it is finished, I was adopted into the high council of three. You see what I mean? We are in that high council. Jesus represents you. In the Trinity, we sit with him in Christ, in Christ. We are in the Trinity, in Christ. Oh, Lord. Lord Jesus, thank you. Give them ears to hear. Let them wrap their minds around this God, because you have nothing to fear. The second Adam. That's who Jesus is. He's the second Adam. The first Adam blew it. Second Adam did it. So we die in him. Therefore, we also live in him. You've forsaken your old life. You said, I don't want that. I don't like that Chris Jones. He's mean. And he's selfish. And he keeps ruining my life. I'm going to keep him buried. I want to be the resurrected Chris Jones. I want to be resurrected in Christ. I want to live there, God, because I know, come hell or high water, Jesus, you're going to be my light. Your word that's in the Bible. And that's why I want you guys to really understand is the miracle lays in the word. Jesus is the word. Your reality lies in the word. If you read the word daily, and I don't mean you got to read a whole chapter. I mean, do something you can win at. But sit in the word daily. Your life will change. Less of the world, more of the word equals the best you. It's just, that's it. Don't try to do that. You can't do it. It doesn't work. Less of the world, more of the word equals the best me. The more I understand who I am in Christ, the fact that I live in a different realm spiritually, that I have an inheritance of love that I get to operate in no matter what comes my way, it changes everything for us. All of a sudden, we're wealthy. You're wealthy. You're wealthy in love. You're wealthy in hope. You're wealthy in the things of God. You just have to get your mind around it. I'm not saying things in the physical are going to change, even though God does that. He does that. You will see things change, but you are going to change. You will walk through it newly. You'll be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. I usually yell at them and I just go, oh, I blessed them. Wow. Things will change. Amen. Okay, I'm going to read this really quick and then I'll get to the last one because we got 10 minutes. And I just love this because this is Jesus. It's John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of man. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's our Jesus. The darkness cannot overcome him ever. That means this world can't overcome you. It's done. Done. You are free to love. You're free to experience life greatly. Take it all in, man. Because I don't know what's after. I mean, I know it's eternity, but all I know is we have an opportunity here. Because even though your salvation's secure. If you call Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, your salvation is secure. Everything I'm preaching to you is the truth today. But where does your role lie now? Well, there's also in the Bible about getting rewarded. And getting crowns and it's rewards from Christ. And let me tell you something. I can guarantee you this. Each and every person in this room will stand before the Almighty one day. And it will be gnarly. But we don't stand in judgment. like many will. It will not be that for us. It will be the mercy seat. And he will show us things that we, you know, we blew it some places. But here's where you didn't. And that's when he's gonna reveal to us, kind of like an attaboy and an attagirl, from Jesus, the one who selflessly died for you, came, you know, was not separated from, but came out of the Trinity for me and you. He's going to reward you. And when you get it, it will be so, your understanding will be so well that you will throw it back at his feet and go, no. Oh, Jesus, no. It was all you. It was all you the whole time. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you for choosing me, even though I was your enemy. I hated you with my life and my words and the way I treated other people that you created and called your sons and daughters. I'm humbled by you, God. Thank you. To leave every single one of us like that. In Ephesians 13 and 14, he says this, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus promised he'd send him, and he did. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire full possession of it? Okay, guys? That matters too, to the praise of his glory, meaning we have an inheritance coming to us now, but eventually we will acquire all of it, which means we will be fully known in Christ. We will fully know and be fully known. No sickness, no sadness. We will truly be one with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That is a great hope. And see, he's already started it now. I need you guys to know that it's already begun. Don't waste any more time tripping on a virus. Don't waste any more time tripping on the government. Don't wait. I'm telling you, pay attention. Do what's right for yourself. Don't be stupid. But don't trip. You serve a God who wrote it all. He wrote it all. He talked about it all. He has a plan for it all. He's executed the whole thing. And he knows the end from the beginning. You've been sealed with a promised one. The one who guarantees our safe travel home, back to the Father in the life of the Son. We shall live as one with him and each other eternally. Oh, we won't be tripping. It'll be great. Jesus tells us this in John 16, I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. Yeah, I know, Lord. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. For he will take what is mine and declare it to you. You see, the Holy Spirit preserves your salvation, my salvation, and he protects it. How does he protect it, Pastor Chris? He keeps, bing, reminding you that this is your salvation. The Word of God is your healing. The Word of God is your salvation. The Word of God is your reality, your true reality of who you really are, a spiritual being with unlimited opportunity and resource. What? Yeah. Spiritually, you have unlimited resource. And if you don't know this now, I'm telling you, the spiritual, changing things in the spiritual changes things in the natural, not vice versa. Remember, the natural's already been laid out. God's plan's been laid out, and he's not like, oh my gosh, no, COVID, we have to change. Guys, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. We didn't know about this. Children of darkness really pulled a fast one on us. It's not happening. It was in the memo. It was in the memo of the High Council 3. Don't you worry, church. Don't you worry. This year in 2022, I want you to focus on diving deeper into him. Who are you? And I hope that this scripture, the way it was a big, big piece of scripture, you guys. I tripped on God. I'm like, really? This is for like, you know, some of the gnarlier preachers. God, I mean, but you know what? I thank God that he pushed me through it and towards it. Because when you wrap your mind around this, it's like freshly getting saved. I mean, you have been predestined by God. Jesus Christ died for the sins that you still commit. It's paid. Your salvation's paid. So you don't need to, don't be sin conscious as much as you need to be son conscious. Because the more that you find him, the less you're going to want to sin. I promise. The more revelation you get out of his word, you'll be like, dude, I don't watch porn anymore. I don't. It doesn't have any value for me. I figured that out. How did that happen? Reading the word. Because my flesh loves porn. It loves filth. It loves lies. It loves all that stuff. And if I feed it, he'll be hungry again. Starve that guy out. Starve him out. Starve him out with the word. Starve him out coming to midweek services and diving into the word and really getting to know him and you and us. That's how we do it. And then we grow. And I promise you, friend, because your flesh is holding on to that sin just like mine is. But the more that we read the word together, the more that the revelation of Christ on the cross and what he did for us, if we begin to let that stuff go, yuck. Ew, no. I don't, the reason why I don't want to look at porn, ping. I don't want to lose this. Because if I do, I've just chose the world. Now I'm drinking this in. Now I'm putting this in. Do you understand? I don't say this with condemnation. I say it with love. What you put in your body will dictate your health, period. Food, the word, the world. The world's like McDonald's. And can I just say something? Can I just say something? You guys are good. Somebody's going to get mad at me. That's okay. If you pull down your mask and order McDonald's, come on. If you pull down your mask and smoke a cigarette, stop it. Stop it, friend. Please. We ain't scared, are we? We ain't scared to die. Stop it. I've seen that. I love you guys. I love you. Please love me too. I am not, and listen, I'm not picking on nobody. I'm not. I'm not picking on anybody individually. I'm not picking on a group of people. I'm saying we are sheep. I don't care what kind of a bad Otis guy you think you are, you're a sheep. Compared to the demonic forces, we are susceptible to the heavenlies and the demonic. We're spirits. We're little tuning forks. And if you're going to tune yourself to the world, you will ring that sound. You want to tune yourself to the word of God, you will ring that sound. Ooh, it's 12:30. So, it all starts with giving your life to Jesus. And I want to do something. We're going to pray today. And if there's anybody in here and you don't know for sure if you're saved, maybe you even thought you were, but now you're like, dude, I don't know. Let's pray. Because the prayer is symbolic. What really happens today is you go, no, God, I believe you. Come into my life. Save me. Jesus, save me. And I don't ever want to pass up an opportunity to do that just in case that's you. So if the Holy Spirit, ping, hits you today and drew you, even though you don't know him, give your life to him today. We have just scratched the surface on what God has for you, but it's all found in Christ. So if you've never given your life to Jesus, or you backslidden and you want to rededicate your heart today, say, I'm going into 2022. Man, I am one with the Son, the Father, and the Spirit. Then let's pray. If you've never given your life to Jesus, or you backslidden and want to pray again, raise your hand and we'll pray. I see your hand. Amen. All right. Sweet. So this is a profession of faith. And if online ever came on and you're hearing this too, pray with me. Church, will you help them? You got to profess, pray this prayer with me, guys. Father God in heaven, thank you for your son, Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. So I ask you to come into my heart, come into my life and change me. I ask you to break every chain, every shackle that would hinder me from walking with you. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit. Today, I am yours and you are mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. I love you so much. Let me pray for you. Listen, be the light. The Spirit of God lives in you and your destination is secure. Go out and live like it, baby. Love like it, preach like it, hug like it, kiss like it, and talk like it. Amen? Go get them, guys.